Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to welcome a very, very accomplished financial services individual coach from London, UK, Asra Abdulaziz. Asra, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. Asra is the founder of Rise and Lead, an organization that does executive coaching and mentoring. She has worked for Crédit Agricole, CIB Paris, BNP Paribas, and Natixis. So, Asra, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your career or your life?
So that was an interesting question that I kept reflecting on for a while. I actually decided that I wanted to start with a watershed moment of my life, which changed the perspective that I had on things. And that was a tumor that I had 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. When you realize how vulnerable your body is, and when you realize that actually things can switch in a second, and when this happens to you when you're like in your early 30s, it changes your perspective of life. So this I would say is the probably the beginning of my other life. After that, I would say that the second important part for me would have been my 4 years at Natixis. The reason for that is it made me realize and prove to myself that I was capable of completely transforming a business, and that I had this ability of having employees that were sleeping in a way and not believing anymore, to believe that the what they thought was impossible become possible. And the third one, I think, would be the beginning of my journey at Rise and Lead.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. So for our listeners, Asra, tell us, what was the Natixis role?
So my Natixis role, I was head of EMEA, so Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So I was in global markets. I was working on what we call equity derivatives, if you know that resonates for some people in finance. And I was heading the sales team. So that's about 50 to 55 people, something like that.
Okay, I understand. So, you know, from a person who spent the early part of her life in financial services, what made you transition to coaching?
You know, when I was, I'm very proud and I loved my career in finance. I did. I loved what I did every single day. With time, I realized that what brought me more drive and more passion was actually seeing people grow. By the end of my career, my financial career, I was more excited to see that someone from my team that thought that she or he could not do it, did it. You know, have people believe in their potential and encourage them to go that far.
Okay. So let's talk about Rise and Lead. Tell me about what you do in this, and then I'll ask you some questions on coaching.
So Rise and Lead, so what do I do? Many different things. The first thing that I do is I coach individuals throughout the world, and I support them in their journey, whatever their journey is. So I've been working for the moment with leaders across the globe, and the idea behind is to support them in their thinking, to challenge the way they think, and to help them grow. I as well offer, so at Rise and Lead, we also mentor. So for instance, this is more the case for people in startups or younger individuals that are looking for guidance. We do offer consulting too, for people that actually are looking for people, I mean, for someone hands-on and do the work. And there's as well facilitation, conflict management within a company. So all these different things. What is really important about Rise and Lead is that the ambition is to drive change in the leadership scene. For the moment, a lot of the, there is still, in a way, across the globe, an old school leadership style. Led by the fact that, you know, a lot of people that are in senior positions up until now are still from the older generations. And there is still a gap between, unfortunately, between the way they see the world and the way the younger see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to start to disrupt a little bit this scene in many different ways, especially in the most conventional industries like, you know, finance or law. In a way, it's much easier to be disruptive in technology
because
the whole Silicon Valley is about being disruptive.
Correct.
Finance, law, a bit less.
Yeah.
For instance.
Okay. Why has coaching become so relevant in the world today? When I was growing up, and I'm much older, coaching was normally done either by a boss who liked you or by an elder in the family. Today, coaching is something which is a very professional occupation. So what is making coaching so relevant in the business world?
So the world has changed a lot in the sense that, you know, in the past, we would assume that the pace at which things change was much more stable, you know, and you wouldn't go under that many shakes in your life. There would still be some sort of stability. It would be more rare to lose a job, change careers, separate from partners, and things like this.
Mm.
In today's world, we live in so much pressure and permanent change that we need to, in a way, almost permanently transform ourselves.
Okay.
We need to adapt.
Mm.
And it's hard to adapt all the time by yourself. Mm. So coaching is, in a way, is here to support you in your thinking and in your growth, to help you adapt.
Okay.
It's a way of, as I was saying, you know, think differently. We see the world the way we are, and we're all biased by the way we grew up, where we live, what we see around us. But today we live in a world that is so global, and we communicate globally that, you know, it's not sustainable to live permanently with this bias. You have to keep up opening your mind. And a coach will help you accelerate this.
Okay. Very interesting.
Interesting.
And, you know, you just mentioned that you do coaching and mentoring.
Yes.
So my question to you is, what is the difference?
It's a key difference, and a lot of people confuse it.
Okay.
So when you coach someone, you support this individual to grow his or her thinking. It's about perspective. It's about challenging this person. They find their own answers. You just support them in trying to find them. Mentoring, you actually share your own experience and advice.
Okay.
So in coaching, you do not invite the answer. You never give the answer, actually. If you're a coach and someone tells you, what should I do? You answer, I don't know. What would you do? If you're a mentor and someone asks you, what would you do? Then you would say, well, based on my experience, this is what I would do. And a lot of people confuse the two. I don't know if that clarifies.
No, you're making, I'm beginning to understand what you're saying. But if I'm looking for a coach and I come to you, how do I know whether I want to be mentored or coached?
So it works in a way both ways. So the funny part or the interesting part is that, for instance, throughout my coaching, I sometimes say, listen, I'm removing my coach hat right now because you're asking me for my opinion and I'm happy to share it. I'm a mentor with you now.
Okay.
So what is actually really important is that the client or the individual understands where I'm sitting when I'm talking to them.
Okay.
I want to say that to be coached, you need to probably already have done some work, and you need to be asking yourself a lot of, you know, you need to be asking yourself questions and have someone support you in that. Mentoring, you probably want to something that is a little bit faster in the sense of, this is what I've done. This is what I invite you to do.
Okay. That's very well explained. So, you know, I speak to a lot of people, and when I spoke to some people about coaching, they said, oh, only the CEOs of companies need to have a coach.
Not true.
So I want your thoughts on that. At what level should one start looking for a coach?
So the reality is, in life, it would be amazing if almost everybody could have a coach.
Okay.
But it's, it's almost impossible in a way. The question is more, what kind of coach? Which you need to make sure someone that coaches a CEO or executive level, obviously, you know, will have a way of being and understanding that is different from someone that is just coaching, that is actually a manager of maybe a couple of people. And then even if you're a manager of a couple of people, it depends where you are in the field. So the reality is, my answer to this would be, anyone in any organization should be able to get coaching. The question is more, what type?
Okay.
And what level of coach you would get. The important thing is, not all coaches can work with everyone.
Correct.
That is the reality. And if you, in order for coaching to work and for the person to grow, you need to find a match.
Okay. Help me understand, for all the people who will be listening to us, what are the steps in coaching?
So the first step is actually, the way it works is normally a client comes and speaks to the coach as a first step, saying, I'm interested in your services. So it can either be actually, if it's a big organization, HR, or the individual, him or herself. Then we introduce ourselves. So the coach, the client explains what he's looking for or she's looking for. And the coach, for instance, myself, I'll tell my story, how I work. This is the introduction. If there is some sort of chemistry that happens, or we feel that it could go forward, we say, okay, let's start.
Okay.
During this first, so once we've agreed, so there's always a contract. That's very important.
Okay.
You know, it's not, it is a contractual agreement that explains, you know, what the coach will do, what will he offer, and what are the bound, you know, what is the client bound to. In terms of that, we first have this first session where the coachee talks about everything, and most importantly, what we call his meta goals. What is it in the big picture that he's actually looking for in this engagement? And when we'll do that, we'll as well, my job or any coach job will be to try to put measures of success for him and have this person identify. So for instance, if she says, you know, my ambition is to improve verbal communication with my teams. That's, you know, quite general. Okay, how will we be able to measure within the end of our engagement that you have improved your verbal communication? That's very important, being able to track progress. So that's the beginning. And then each single session will depend pretty much on, you know, what the coachee wants to talk about. At least that's my method. I let, you know, someone show up and say, so what do you want to talk about today? And I always believe that, you know, even if it's not initially what was agreed on, let's say as the meta of it, if it's on someone's mind that day and they want to talk to you about it, it means that it's quite important. So listen and, you know, and move forward. And then we end at the end, you know, and at the end, sorry, we, at the of the journey, it's the reflection of the individual, pretty much, you know, how he got, you know, how she or he got there, what he got out of it, and, you know, what she's expecting, for instance, for the future.
Very interesting. And Asra, how long should a relationship be between a coach and a coachee?
So it will actually depend on what type of changes or, you know, what is it that the person is looking at. If you're talking about just what we call, you know, a technical change, like for instance, you could work for 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
If you're looking for adaptive change, which is most of the time what actually people are looking for when they're working with a coach, here you're talking more about 1 year.
Okay.
1 year, 1 year and a half. Yeah.
And give me an example of adaptive change without giving any names, of course.
Well, adaptive change is more, How do I really change my approach in leading by giving less orders in a way? You know what I mean? So it's, this encompasses not just, you know, the tone, but actually the way you are and how you look at things and how you decide to lead. So it's more about, you know, what's going on in there. Another one could be, I want to start to think about my legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing that what I do now doesn't correspond to the legacy that I want to leave.
Okay.
What do I start doing? How do I do it?
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. So one more question on coaching. How do I, as a coachee, evaluate if I have a good coach?
If you feel that you're moving, a coaching relationship will be challenging. A good coach will challenge you with compassion and with support. But, you know, you only grow through discomfort. It's very unfortunate, but that's the way it is, you know. And if you're able to have a coach that holds this space for you and that makes you feel safe and that helps you move one step at a time, that's how you know. The most important part as well, and I forgot to mention it earlier, is that you follow, a good coach follows the pace of the coachee.
Okay.
Again, you do not, you know, we both see the world in a different way. Mm. As a coach, your role is to adapt and to wait for the coachee to see.
Okay. Very interesting. So let's move to some questions for you now.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, what are some of the core values you believe in?
I believe in so much, but I want to say that equity, compassion, integrity, authenticity, respect, challenge. I live by my mantra, which is always believe that you can go as far as what your mind lets you. What you believe in, you will achieve.
Okay.
And I live by that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, you know, my next question is that, you know, you worked with so many people as a coach, so many must have been CEOs.
Yes.
Based on your own understanding, what are some of the most important qualities a CEO should have? And I'm talking of other than technical knowledge of the industry they may be running.
I feel that one of the most important parts that is often not repeated enough is to be able to set a clear vision and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that often is not enough communicated.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this? And where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
This is extremely important. And the CEO needs to be able to say that in almost, you know, all of his or her communications within the organization.
Very interesting.
The other important one, I would believe, is empathy and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. Decisiveness and authenticity.
Okay.
Which is something that still a lot do not apply. A lot of people fake it. Mm. And a lot of CEOs still fake it.
Mm. And if you fake it, your subordinates figure out very quickly.
They do. But on the other hand, you have the problem of, you know, I mean, in a way, as you're saying, so they'll, some, for some CEOs, it's impossible for them to say, I do not know.
Mm.
And in some cultures, when you say, I do not know, it might feel like, so why is she or he the CEO? He doesn't
correct.
Know.
Correct.
And this creates a lot of stigma. So, but the reality is, and even in these cultures or in these type of organizations, the strength of being able to say, I do not know, is tremendous.
Correct.
And one of the things that I always remind my clients and my client CEOs and whoever actually is, what matters is your effectiveness.
Correct.
It's your leadership effectiveness. It's not how you're getting there, it's that you actually got there. And this is what people expect from you. You make it happen.
What a great answer. So, Ashra, let me now move to the last segment, which is some questions for you personally.
Yeah.
In a life, you know, as you look back and you've got a very, very big, long life ahead of you also, you've achieved so much, financial services, coaching, set up your own organization. What does success mean to Ashra?
Success means to me that I've actually managed to impact positively people's lives.
Okay.
I think that this is today what matters to me the most. And I feel that if thanks to my work, I've managed to have people move forward, believe what they thought was impossible, and support their dreams, then I've been successful.
Wonderful. A follow-on question for you is that, you know, you keep doing more and more things, you keep on, you know, wanting to achieve more. Who or what inspires you?
Human beings inspire me, you know, in general. I learned from everyone. I learn from every single person that I meet. We are all so different. And my inspiration really comes from every single person that just keeps on believing that we can change it. And it's in our hands.
Okay. So my next question to you is that if you, Asra, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
Am I allowed two things?
I beg your pardon?
Am I allowed two things?
Yeah, sure. You can give me two things.
So the first thing that I would probably do is eat less candy. That's because, you know, I'd have kids follow and listen. Then the more serious answer would be that I would stop listening to people that would just take me down. You know, we already have quite strong inner critics. I don't need to have someone else feed that inner critic. And I realized with time that people that want to feed this inner critic of mine are often jealous, feel threats, and are not people that are looking for my well-being. Would I have known that earlier, a lot of things maybe would have been, you know.
Okay, great answer. So I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is on failure. I've seen that in my part of the world, parents don't teach children it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
We only tell children how important it is to come first. And yet we keep failing all the time.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
Well, my first mistake was to actually not look at failure as learning capital and data, because I was as well wired in a way where failure was not possible. And then I changed and I was like, of course not. Failure is data. That's how I know how I need to change something. And probably what I've learned the most through that is, you know, maybe sometimes being too excited about something and going too fast. But then I was like, it's fine. I just realized that excitement is good, but it's not the only factor for success.
Very interesting. And my last question now to you, you know, and this is again for the thousands of people who will listen to you and me talking. What would your advice be to a young individual starting off on their life journey in the corporate world?
Believe in yourself.
Okay.
And that's the first one. Keep believing in yourself. And discipline is extremely important. That's one of the things that, and I'm not talking about discipline in, you know, the hard way or like meaning that, you know, it's a stick or something. But it's just that structure determines performance. And whatever looks easy, it only looks easy because the person has practiced it so much.
Correct.
And practice, you need discipline. So just focus on that.
Very interesting. Asra, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you, Rise and Lead, and everything else that you do, lots of success.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.